Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, everyone. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University, and I am calling to you live today from Las Vegas, Nevada, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, and I am so excited about today's show. I've been waiting for this one for weeks now. I have my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, on the line with me. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello, and I've been so excited for this show as well. I can just hardly wait. This is going to be really cool, and I know that nothing excites both of us more than, well, maybe a few things, but one of them way up there is young entrepreneurs getting off to a fantastic start.
Absolutely, and I've invited Chief Robert Taltree and his wife, Terry, to join us on the show in a little bit to talk to our guest today, too, so I think it's going to be a really fun show.
Oh, how fabulous. I'm so happy that they were able to share with us again. They were just so wonderful last week, and I know that our guests will learn a bunch of things from them, and this will be a lot of fun.
Well, and I couldn't keep our guests from meeting them. They're both going to enjoy one another, so I just had to make that little thing happen. So let's stop keeping everyone in suspense. Why don't you do the honors and tell everyone who our guest is?
I will do that. Our guest is a young man who is a teenager. His name's Hezekiah Condren. He has grown up around a family and a community of people who are dedicated to developing the body, mind, and spirit. By the age of 4, he was given a camera and started taking photographs. He started also doing drawing, learning about color, learning kung fu, learning about healthy living in all of its aspects, learning how to have a still mind. For his whole life, pretty much, he's been learning about and interpreting his own dreams. In fact, bought himself a dream school membership as a gift to himself, as a birthday gift to himself, so that he could deepen his studies into his dreams. He also has a website that is called indigo-chef.com, indigo-chef.com. It's listed there in the show notes, where he is beginning to build his business. And I know his parents, I've met both of his parents. I didn't get to meet you, Hezekiah, when I was out at the School of Metaphysics, unfortunately, but I'm very, very happy to have you on the show today, Hezekiah.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. This is my first kind of public type appearance thing, so I'm really excited.
We are as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get interested in becoming an entrepreneur at such a young age?
Well, actually, my parents have let me experience these stories of different people who have just done incredible things with their lives at really, really young ages, like in their teens and stuff. And there are books that I've read that have been written by young people, and I just find that incredible. And it's really cool because it's kind of like this realization of, you can start doing something just out there at any age. There is no rule that says you have to be, an adult to start doing something like what I'm doing. There's this really cool book written by a 15-year-old kid named Dallas Crilly named Kidpreneur, which the book is called Kidpreneur, and it's about young people who are entrepreneurs, just did all kinds of things and made fortunes doing it, and they're all younger, under the age of 18, and that's the whole thing, and the whole theme of the book is that pretty much you can just do anything. And a lot of times people will have an idea that's like, oh, no, that's a bad idea, that won't work. Well, the thing you want to remember is for every person that says something can't be done, there's someone who's out there who's already doing it. So you may as well do your idea if you have an idea that you think is a good one.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I so believe that you don't need to be an adult to really do something big. In my own life, I could just give you example after example. I was in seventh grade when I heard that my town was opening a youth center. And as part of the youth center, they were forming a new board of commissioners that was part of the government. And I was reading the newspaper one day, and I learned that all these people that were going to be on this commission of youth leaders were all going to be adults. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
What would adults know about kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my teacher and I said, you know, this just doesn't work for me. I don't see why they should all be adults. She said, well, why don't you do something about it? So I started researching it and realized that in our town, we had about 72,000 people, so it wasn't too small. It was kind of a mid-sized town. They had made a really big mistake when they wrote our initial laws. They had no age requirement for someone to run for public office in our town. So that was kind of like an open door to me. So
right.
I went back to my teacher and I said, you know, I don't see any age restrictions here. She's like, that can't be. Well, it was. So I really looked at how other political campaigns had worked at a national level and a local level. I put together my entire campaign. My parents kept telling me, no, you can't do this. You don't have a chance to win. And they kept telling me that if I did win, they weren't going to take me to the meetings, and how was I going to get there, and was this going to affect my schoolwork? And I said, look, I really want to do this. I want to make a difference. Well, I did win, and not only did I win once, I won twice, even though I wasn't old enough to vote for myself. So you can do amazing things. When I was 13 years old, I was in the end of my eighth grade, and I was in student government, really into leadership. I'd gone to a conference about leadership, and from the conference, they selected senators who would then go on to teach leadership all over the country for the next 2 years. Well, I was selected for one of these senator roles, and over the next 2 years, I was teaching educators about leadership. In fact, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's a very well-known public figure, was actually one of my students. I taught him leadership.
Wow.
So I commend you for seeing that anything is possible and everything is possible with just the will and the ability to take action.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yep. That's actually one of the things that I'm really working with myself to do right now, is just have the will to just do it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things you want to accomplish?
Well, I would like my website. I would like to help as many people as possible really know about my website so that it can change as many lives as it has potential to, and I can eventually end up in a position where I can teach hopefully thousands, if not millions, of people about how to live healthy, productive, happy lives, which is pretty much what I'm teaching myself to do right now as well. So it's really cool that I'm getting this chance to educate other people while I'm learning it myself.
Well, that is really neat. And Hezekiah, let me be the first to volunteer and tell you that I have a system for using a blog that can generate between 1,000 and 5,000 unique visitors a day fairly easily. And I would be honored to teach that system to you. It's what I teach in my coaching programs and other products. And if you'd like some special time with me to get to learn that system, I'd be happy to do so.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So, Linda, what would you like to know from Hezekiah today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I just want to offer my assistance with helping you tell stories in a powerful way, Hezekiah. That's sort of my contribution to the world is helping you tell your story in a powerful way and reach people that way. I'm always at your disposal and very happy to assist you with that. And one thing I want to know is that I know that you have a film that you recently took to a very large dream conference. Would you please tell us about this experience and about your film?
Yes, the film is called The Dream Mystery in American Teens Search for Dream Elders. I created it from interviews that I was able to record with many of the top Western authorities in dream study in this vast field last year at the International Association for the Study of Dreams conference in Chicago. And I compiled the film, and I basically had two goals. One, give people a basic overview of dream study, and also give people an idea of what it's like when you're inside the dream, which was really cool because I love editing. And for the longest time, I couldn't really, you know, do all kinds of crazy editing colors and effects, but I finally got a chance to do that. I got to just go crazy and make this incredible, visually awesome dream film, which was really, really cool. And it was amazing. I was the youngest presenter there, and it was very humbling. And I'm still learning how to really, you know, get along with people in the outside world. I'm pretty introverted, so it's a little bit overwhelming when I get up in front of the people, give my opening speech, and show the film, and then they give me just like one of the longest applauses that I've seen in that entire conference that we went to. It was really, really humbling. Just, yeah, amazing. It kind of gives me, puts tears in my eyes when I think of it right now.
Well, you know, for someone who's introverted, you sure are doing big things. And I really commend you for feeling the discomfort and doing it anyway. That's what it takes to really see success in your life. And I know you're going to reach your goals because you're already doing it.
Yeah, I used to think that it took all this energy out of me to like come up with an opening speech or figure out a joke or write something, a creative story, or you know, a blog or something. And then it kind of occurred to me that I don't need to really think about it ahead of time. I usually just stress myself. I can just
uh-huh.
have this moment, and I never run out of creative energy. I can just keep coming up with stuff. It's not something that you just exhaust yourself on. I came up with the opening speech, which was basically a bunch of jokes about dreaming, just friendly stuff that really got everyone's attention, that I gave right before I showed myself my opening speech. I came up with that in about maybe 30 minutes beforehand. I showed my film at 10 o'clock at night, and I wasn't expecting very many people to be there because it was so late, but I got probably a fifth to a quarter of the people that were there at the conference at the film, which was a significant number, and almost everyone that was in the film came as well.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Great job.
Thank you.
So, Rhonda, what else do you want to know from Hezekiah? Did we lose Rhonda?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I muted my phone and forgot I had muted it. Sorry about that. One thing I would love to talk with you about is a little bit about the inspiration for your website, which is indigo-chef.com. Many people in our audience, probably most of them, really have no idea about an indigo children and what that all means. So would you be able to speak to that a little bit and then also tell us?
I didn't know what it meant until I saw the domain name and went and did a little research on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, my mother wrote a book called How to Raise an Indigo Child many years ago, and it's been translated into, I think, 5 languages now. It is, yeah, probably the most popular book that she has written. She's written many, both my parents have. And basically, indigo children are kind of, okay, the most physical way I know to put it is they are children that are born really open. They have very creative, very lively minds. They just love life. They tended to, they started being identified, I think, around 1995, which was the year I was born. That's when people started noticing the children with a slightly different type of attitude. And now, like, what's really cool is that pretty much every child has the potential to be what they call, quote-unquote, indigo children, where they're just really open and just kind of out there and creative.
And don't they have a special mission, Hezekiah? Don't indigo children have kind of here for a special purpose that's unique to them?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, there are certain things that's like I was born with the ability to do. Like, I love telling stories. Like what I'm doing right now. And I love to just be able to just communicate with people. And I can get in these creative ways of thinking that are just incredible. It feels like I'm not even in my body. I'm just, like, in a waking dream sometimes. It's amazing.
And so for an indigo child, no one ever told you you couldn't, so you don't know limitations, right?
Exactly. I am very, very grateful to my parents for the way they raised me, because it allowed me to have this way of thinking that's allowing me to do what I'm doing right now.
Now, were you homeschooled, or did you actually go to a regular school?
I was homeschooled. I still am homeschooled. My parents provided me with the scholastic work I need to advance my basic school understanding.
Wow. You know, when I was growing up, I just turned 46, so I was born in 1964. When I was growing up, homeschooling was not a big deal. And I know my life would be so different today had I had the ability to be homeschooled. Mm-hmm. When I was in sixth grade, my dad traveled a lot. I mean, a whole lot. He would go away sometimes for 3 or 4 months at a time and not even come home on the weekends. So when I went into the sixth grade, Dad was going to be gone for about 6 months. And this particular trip, he was able to arrange for us to go with him, but it meant that we would be far away from our school. So they gave my mom 6 months' worth of assignments for me and my sister, and we could go and do our work wherever we were going to be, and we'd have to send homework back home, and they'd send us tests to take. Well, I found that I really didn't like watching TV. I didn't really like going to the pool during the day. So I just did more work. Well, by the time I got done with the sixth grade, I had finished all of my sixth grade math, all of my seventh grade math, and most of my eighth grade math, because I had this voracious need to keep doing more stuff. By the time I got out of eighth grade, I had already finished calculus, which is normally your high school senior course. So when I went into high school, there was like one semester of math I could take, and there wasn't anything else I could take.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, my high school said, well, we have a four-year math requirement here. You're going to have to take 4 years of math. I said, what do you want me to do, repeat calculus 4 times? That's goofy. So they made special arrangements to get me admitted to a little local college. It's a two-year college, just to take the math classes.
Wow.
But what they didn't realize was, once you're admitted, you're admitted. You can't have
right.
a stipulation that says you're admitted to take math classes. If you're admitted, you're admitted. I got my associate's degree 2 days before I got my high school diploma.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think my parents fostered the idea of everything is possible in me enough. Do I know that today? Absolutely. But it's something I only learned as a result of having to go through struggles with, oh, well, nothing's possible, so maybe if I'm lucky I might get a little bit of something. And it's a very different way of thinking to know that everything is possible, just takes going out and getting it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, when I went to school of metaphysics a couple of months ago for a conference there, and that's the environment in which Hezekiah is raised with his parents and other teachers and people who live there full time, as well as students who come for a course of study there at the college, and of course, people who come in for conferences. And it was just such a beautiful and nurturing environment. And I thought, wow, what a fantastic way, and how what a great start for you to have parents as well as a whole community
that is so nurturing and supportive for you to live your creativity. So many children, I mean, when did you do your first video about the chicken who took over the world?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Right?
That was
old or something like that?
Yeah, that was between the ages of 7 and 10 I created that film. It took me 3 years to make it. I wasn't nearly as, you know, disciplined where I just get into it and just keep working for hours at a time.
Oh, yeah. And how many little baby chicks did you go through to make that one? But, you know.
I have no idea how many, honestly.
Right, a bunch.
Yeah, I went through so many.
A little forever. So, but it's that type of environment. And you had people who could teach you art, and you had a teacher, I believe his name was Adam, who taught you about color.
Yep. Adam Campbell, I was 4 and 5. He was the one. I really had no idea how to draw. He started teaching me about perspective and about how to draw just basic stuff, and I loved it. And then he had done his internship at the college, so then he moved away to another one of our school centers. And since then, I never really had anyone to teach me drawing, so I still do by myself, but I didn't really have a way to advance my drawing skills. So now I'm finally starting to get back into it. My mom was kind enough to buy me some books on art, so I'm going to start learning how to draw better now, because I do really like doing it.
How many 5-year-olds do you know who are taught about perspective, any kind of perspective, be it artistic or otherwise, and about the power of color?
I don't know the term, even. What is perspective? But what to me is just so amazing about you is that you're really not just keeping this for yourself. You're really using the business that you're setting up to share this with the world. And you can change lives that way, absolutely, positively.
Yeah, I want to make my life very meaningful and happy, and I want to be able to just affect as many people's lives as possible. It's just, it's an amazing thing, and I really, really hope that I can achieve that in my lifetime. That's like my number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you plan on monetizing this business? How do you plan on monetizing the business?
Well,
where will the business make money?
Yeah. Well, depending on what I'm giving the money that's coming in, I'm going to donate some of it to the different causes. Like, I'll probably use most of the money from the business just to put towards more research and making more films and making more products that I can then help educate even more people. The money that comes from selling the Dream Mystery film, I'll probably put most, if not all of that, back into the International Association for the Study of Dreams organization. I'll probably donate. I'm considering possibly just giving them that film. There's another film. I interviewed even more people this last conference I went to just a few weeks ago, and I think I'll make another film on dreams. And I'm hoping I'll be able to premiere in Holland in their next conference in 2011.
Wow.
That's great.
I'm just starting to get into this organization called Kiva, which is...
I know Kiva well.
You know Kiva well. We love Kiva here, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think I may use much of my money to invest there, because that's just incredible, because they make these micro loans to the people in the developing countries that the people can then pay back to finance their own personal entrepreneurial business, which is just, incredible.
About 6 or 7, maybe about 8 months ago now, we happened to be in Charleston, South Carolina, and Charleston's a very weird area for television. You can't get satellite TV there unless you have, like, one of these really powerful dishes. And I live in my motorhome, so I don't have one of those really big dishes on the top of my bus. I have a normal thing, so you can't get, like, DirecTV or Dish. So it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd just gotten done working, and I was really just wanting to watch something to unwind. Well, I flipped on the regular TV and turned it to PBS, and there was a show that had just started about microloans. They first started talking about Kiva because Kiva is the grandfather of microloans. It's the founder of Kiva that won the Nobel Peace Prize for coming up with the idea of microloans. But as I learned in this show, it was an incredible show. It was about an hour long. And what has happened since then is that there have been a number of new microloan companies that have opened their doors since Kiva, all of them using slightly different models, some having some success, some having more success. There's a specific organization, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but the name is definitely going to escape me at the moment. I'll keep thinking about it during the show. They have a 100% repayment rate over the last 7 years.
Wow.
And that just blew me away. How can you get a 100% repayment rate? Here's how they did it. The founder of that organization is Korean. In the Korean culture, there is a concept that dates back to the BC days that had groups of people working together so that each one would cause the success of the others. They took what Koreans knew from that history and applied it to the concept of microloans. And in order to go in and apply for a microloan, you cannot apply on your own. You must apply in a group of three. For each person that is part of that group, they are all standing in line right behind you for their own microloans. But they can't qualify for their loan until you successfully repay yours. And so what happens is when the person who has the loan has a bad month or some emergency comes up, the other two people come together because their loan depends on it and make sure that the first person's loan gets repaid at any cost. Because of that synergy between the three people working together, 100% repayment over 7 years. Brilliant. Really brilliant. So although I love Kiva, don't limit yourself to just Kiva. Look into some of the other microloan companies that are out there. I heard, and I don't know for sure that it got started, one of my advisors is someone who works very closely with Kiva, and I heard that there was a new microloan company that was getting ready to open its doors, not company, organization is a better word, about January, February-ish of this year. So this past January or February, that was going to focus on microloans for people under the age of 21 who wanted to open their own businesses. You might look into seeing whether or not that ever came to fruition, because that would be a really great fit for you.
Yeah, it was. Wow, that's a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if it never did come to fruition, certainly wouldn't hurt to talk to Kiva about finding a way to get Kiva to do that for young entrepreneurs around the world, would it?
No, that'd be a good idea.
Why not? And that helps you with your mission of making things possible for more people and opening up to more people, and that's it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
When I teach people to build businesses, and this applies to anyone building a business, whether you're young or old, it is imperative to the success of your business that you get very, very detailed and very specific on what you want to achieve. Now, the concept of social entrepreneurship is one that I absolutely love talking about. And to most people, they hear the term social entrepreneur and they assume it means let's open a charity. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, the best examples of social entrepreneurship are those businesses that are very much for profit, but at the same time have an element of changing the world involved with it. For example, there's a company called Tom's Shoes. Tom's Shoes was founded as a way of providing shoes to people in third world countries. The whole reason for it. But in order to do that, they set up a for-profit business. So the way that Tom's Shoes works is when you buy a pair of Tom's Shoes will then give you a substantial discount on your next pair when you return your used shoes to them. They then refurbish those used shoes and send them off to people in third world countries. So now it's no longer an expense for them to give shoes away because someone's already purchased them and paid for them and worn them. And that person who now is returning the shoes is now a lifetime Tom's Shoes customer because they're always going to get discounts on their next pair every time they bring in an old pair of Tom's Shoes. It's a model that has worked very well for them that has made a huge impact on people in third world countries now having shoes, but yet at the same time it makes millions of dollars every year. So I want to encourage you to really get clear on the details of what you want to achieve in your business. If you can really get clear on the details of it, figuring out how to achieve all of it will be much, much easier. It's kind of like going on a trip when you're building a business. If you're just going to hop in the car and in your head you're seeing that you want palm trees and water and sand, and you just hop in the car and start driving, are you going to get to a place with palm trees and sand and beaches? Well, maybe, but maybe not. If you instead figure out where the destination is and then hop in the car, you will now know, do you drive east or north or south or west or whatever, and it will make it a lot faster and a lot easier to get there. If you don't get clear on the destination, you might get to where you want, but it won't necessarily be the shortest, smoothest journey getting there. It's going to be a much longer, bumpier path. So get clear on those details, and I think you'll find that your whole business takes on a whole new dimension because of it.
All right. I can tell you one of my goals right now is to someday be able to be a public speaker and motivational speaker. If you don't know that, I would love
you
to.
Are one. Congratulations.
You are.
You are one
today.
Right now, right here.
Mm-hmm. That's just
there are hundreds of people that will hear this show over the next week or so, and thousands over the next few months, I'm sure.
All right. Well, one of the major things that I've discovered about food that is just incredible is that you can pretty much eat whatever you want. You just can't eat it all the time. You can eat something fairly unhealthy for you once in a while, as long as you balance it with things that are healthy, you know, like fruits and vegetables. Fruits are actually interesting because they clean toxins out of your body when you eat them, and then vegetables will then give in fresh new nutrients that then the body can digest. And then when you combine stuff like meat and carbohydrates, you can get your protein and your energy as well. And, well, actually, one of my favorite things to eat are fruit smoothies, because not only do you get the healthy vitamins and minerals from the fruits, but you also get energy, and it tastes really good, and you don't get the sugar craving. Actually, I taught myself to like tea, because for a long time, whenever I wanted to eat sugar, I would drink tea with honey in it, and it actually worked. I was able to.
Ah, that is a good idea, isn't it?
And green tea is actually incredibly good for you. It can, especially if you drink it cold, it can cool the body.
It has so many antioxidants in it.
Mm-hmm. And it flushes all kinds of toxins out of your body, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so is that why the name Indigo Chef?
Well, yeah, that's one thing that I have been learning. The name Indigo Chef comes from the fact that I just love food and I love to cook. That's one of my favorite hobbies, and I'm getting to a point where the cooks here at the college are starting to give me more time that I can cook, where I can cook, you know, two or three or maybe more meals a week, and just get the opportunity to cook for larger and larger groups of people, which is just
how many people fantastically cook for.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you cook for, Rhonda?
Anywhere from 14. Sometimes if I'm cooking, when we have all our students come in, I can cook for up to 100 people. Sometimes I help cook for.
Holy cow!
Mm-hmm. What's really cool is when they give a bunch of people who are just like coming in for the weekend for one time, they'll let me direct them, and I will be teaching them certain things and like proportions of spices and how to cook this and how to cook that, and it's amazing because I just love to teach. I actually have a class here at the college where I teach people just some of the kung fu I know, and that's helping me become better at learning kung fu myself. I learn a lot more when I'm teaching someone else, and I am also teaching people around here how to get along with animals, and I'll show the students some episodes of the TV series Dog Whisperer, which teaches them how to work with dogs, because we live on a farm here, and actually the same rules apply with almost all animals, so all the students here I'm helping teach about how to get along with the animals, because I love animals, I really do, and it's just so much fun to take care of them. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning now every day to go out and take care of birds. We are raising peacocks here, as well as turkeys and chickens, and I'll get up and I'll help take care of those as part of the other college students as part of our early morning regime of taking care of the cows and the pigs and the fowl and all the other animals we have here.
Wow. Well, Rhonda, on a fairly regular basis, we get to hear Rhonda's chickens and her rooster on the show. Every so often, a rooster will crow right on cue. I don't know how you managed that one, Rhonda.
I don't know where they are at the moment. They are out somewhere on the property, but usually he comes right below the window and sings. It's very cool. And when I was out there, it was so fun to, there were cats wandering around. They had cows, and the cows don't like you to come anywhere near them. But I love animals so much, and it was a lot of fun to be over there on the campus.
And so, give us one of your favorite things to cook.
One of my favorite things to cook? Chinese. That would be one of my... I came up with this recipe that uses Chinese tea, jasmine tea, apple juice, soy sauce, teriyaki sauce, and salt that I use to make stir-fry. Steak and broccoli, carrots, onions, garlic, ginger, greens, sometimes leafy greens. You can pretty much put almost anything in there. It's incredibly nutritious. You don't have to use very much oil for it, so it's not going to be that heavy. And it tastes great, and you get pretty much all your protein and your vegetables for the day right there. And, yeah, it's really good, and it's not that high in terms of calories either. That's one of the dishes that's kind of one of my signature dishes. That's the one I personally came up with.
Do you have plans of putting out a recipe book or any cooking things through Indigo Chef?
I'm going to be putting up all my recipes on my site as part of the newsletters I'm putting out, and that's going to be one of the first ones that goes up there. Here over the next few weeks, I'll be putting up lots more recipes. I already have some up there, but I'm going to be putting up a lot more.
A great way to drive traffic. And with all of the interest you have, this is going to work really well for you. Go and videotape yourself cooking one of your recipes.
Yeah.
Use that video to upload it over to YouTube, and at the end have a screen displayed that tells them that they can get the recipe when they come to your website with a link to your website. You will get so many people coming to your site, and I would then make them have to give you their name and email address to get the recipe. Your list will grow in no time. Recipes are really hot on YouTube. Really hot.
All right. That's a great idea. I will do that. Thank you.
Well, since you love to cook anyway, for anybody to see a 13-year-old cooking for 100 people, my goodness. That would be an impressive video. I'd watch just to see that.
I know, exactly. And just to see how, and people are so appreciative. Interesting. You're in an environment there where people are appreciating and knowing that great energy and the great love that goes into the food. And I really do say that you can taste the difference when food is prepared with, good love, good thoughts, whatever. And to have that being prepared for all those people and them enjoying it. I mean, most people, their 13-year-old could barely cook a Hot Pocket in the microwave, if you want to call that food.
For most people, their 13-year-old wouldn't think about drinking a green smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you are certainly not the typical 13-year-old, Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was about 10 and 11 was when I would eat a lot of fast food. I would eat a lot of kind of junk food. And I started getting kind of fat. And that was the first time I really started paying attention to healthy food, because within a few months, I lost a lot of weight because I just started eating more healthy food and I started getting more exercise, because as a result now, I can take walks that last all afternoon all over our property, which is covered in forest and hills. And, because I built up my stamina where I can do that, I've got this little dog named Sam who follows me around, and the two of us just go all day just running around outside. It's great, very invigorating. It's great exercise.
Well, other than Sam, how do you find friends?
How do I find friends?
Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly, most of my friends are a lot older than I am, are adults, because we've got lots of people. I make friends with all the students here, and I'm going to hang out with them when I can and just, you know, work out in our garden and with the animals with the students here. And so I meet new people when we travel to our school centers, or when they come here, I get to meet lots of students. And then when I go to the conferences, like the International Association for the Study of Dreams conference, I get to meet new people there. And then there are a few people close to my own age that I know that are like kids of students that are studying usually. We have a couple living here on one of our properties, and they're students in the school, and they have these two little kids who are 3 and 6. They're just adorable. They both have really red hair, and I play with them all the time. I actually have some information about them on my website and some pictures of them there. I also meet people at my Kung Fu classes, because I take Kung Fu at the YMCA, so there are a lot of people that are kids and people that are pretty close to my own age who I take my my Kung Fu with, and I get to kind of, you know, hang out with people at then too.
Do you miss not having many close friends your own age?
A little bit, somewhat sometimes. But honestly, I really like getting the chance to spend so much time around adults and people who've had more experience than I am. That's one of the things that allows me to learn so much. For instance, we've got a woman here who's a naturopathic doctor. She's also a midwife, and she's been teaching me naturopathy. We've also
nice.
A man here, one of our students, who's a personal trainer, and he's been working with me with like push-ups and sit-ups and stuff. And then we've got another man who has a college degree in forestry, and he worked for the conservation department for a while, and he's one of the people who takes me on these nature walks, and he's taught me all about all kinds of edible plants and herbs and stuff that you find in nature. And we had a man who's just a genius with music. He is one of the best piano players I've ever seen, and he taught me rudimentary skills on the piano. Right now, another one of our students is an excellent singer, and she's teaching me how to sing at vocal lessons, and she also can play the violin. She's starting to teach me, because I finally got violin. Violin's one of my favorite instruments, and so my dad finally got me one. So I'm going to start learning that. And then there's another student that is going to come here for internship soon, and she is an expert on violin, so hopefully she can help me master it from what I've already learned.
Wow. It's just such not a typical 13-year-old, Rhonda.
Yeah, that's absolutely
incredible life.
And being able to tap into the people around you, I think that's one thing a lot of people, young people, miss, is you're in an environment, and it's true that you don't have a lot of youngsters around you, but having people with all these talents who will share them. I was reading on your website about you're taking singing lessons and things, and I'm just thinking, wow, how great it is to have such a nurturing environment like that. It's awesome. And I just kind of think, hey, if you ever want to learn something else, just say, hey, I'd like to learn such and so, and I'm sure a student will show up who knows that and can teach it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I'm trying to gear that. I'm working with the site so it can be geared for all ages. One of the videos, the first one that we put together that we're going to be selling on the site, is the 10 smart foods that are basically the 10 most healthy foods for children's brains. that really build them. And they're not in any particular order. They're all pretty much equally good. There's blueberries, which are very nutritious. They flush out toxins in the body. There's tomatoes. Whole grain pasta is actually very good. Good source of carbohydrates. There's green tea. I mentioned that earlier. Salmon. Salmon is one of my favorite meats.
Me too.
It's incredibly good for you. Spinach is actually one of my favorite salads. Has spinach in it, and that's one of the foods as well as grapes. Grapes are very good for you, particularly whole grapes, like the really fresh ones. We actually have grapevines that we grow here on our fences and fence posts that grow fresh grapes. We have a whole huge orchard here that we grow plums and peaches and apples, all kinds of apples are also one of my favorite foods. They're very, very nutritious.
I would expect that kids your own age you would find boring. Is that pretty accurate?
Mm-hmm.
It sure was for me when I was his age. I hardly, I preferred hanging around older people. I thought they were much more interesting, so.
I did as well.
Yeah.
So how does the Kung Fu stuff fit into everything that you're all about?
Right. Well, I am learning how certain movements of the body can affect other parts of the body. I know a little bit about acupuncture, which, and using that I can help by, for instance, if I throw a punch or a kick, that can release certain energies that are pent up in, like, my liver and other areas of my organs of my body. And it's almost like certain Tai Chi stuff. There's a expert in Oriental medicine named Dr. Fred Weaver, who we know, he lives up in Kansas City, and he comes down here occasionally, and he teaches us all kinds of which foods heat you up, which foods cool you down. I've learned a lot from him. He teaches us Qigong, which is a style of martial arts that works heavily with energy, similar to Tai Chi. It's done pretty slowly, and he actually says that that's the most potent thing he teaches of all the things for health. So I'm starting to learn some of that. I'm learning a little bit about Tai Chi and Aikido. And so, and by using these things, not only can you just help your body by using energy, but just physically, you can strengthen certain muscles with it. It's great exercise. It's a really good discipline. That's a really good word for me, because I've been working with discipline almost pretty much my entire life. Because the one downside about not having to go to school and pretty much having free rein to be able to do all these things is that I have to discipline myself to do this thing at this certain time when I have to. And that's the biggest challenge for me. Because, you know, wake up at a certain time, get up off the couch, and go write a blog, you know, do my chores, or get this assignment that one of my parents gave me done on time.
Mm-hmm. How are all of the different martial arts teachings different? Is it the moves that are different? Is it the mindset that's different?
Well, that's both true. Those are all true. There are different styles. For instance, the style I study is called Pai Lum Kung Fu. It's based on Northern Shaolin. I learned the different animal styles, because the original Kung Fu styles were based off of different animals. The original five animals were tiger, monkey, snake, crane, and dragon, but then it branched out into even more different styles. You got deer style, mantis, centipede, cobra, list goes on and on, eagle. Yeah, but they teach us the animal styles. They also teach us a little bit, as I said, about Aikido. And then you have Tai Chi, which is performed almost boneless. It's very, very slow, and it doesn't look very harmful if you just watch someone practice it. But sometimes it's called the needle and the cotton, where it looks very soft, and if you push into it, it's like, ow, there's like a needle in there, and it pokes you.
Yes.
It's very effective.
Tai Chi has an interesting history because it was basically meant to be a self-defense form that was taught simply as exercise, so it is very deceptive, like your needle in the cotton, in that it is done slowly, but yet if you needed to defend yourself, it could certainly be sped up quite a lot, and those moves would be effective defense moves. And that is actually how people, they said, oh, well, you can't make us not do our exercise when they were in captivity, and that's what they used to be able to stay healthy and eventually be able to free themselves later on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That was, it's really funny because, you know, you see a lot of older people doing your Tai Chi. And Dr. Weaver was telling me a story about how he and his wife, Sandy, who is basically knows as much as he does, they teach it together. They were teaching all the a huge group of their people out in the park the really slow Qigong movements, and a couple of, you know, kids walking by asked them, are those a bunch of retarded people doing those movements? Because they're done so slow, and they look so simple. But when you're actually doing them, you can tell they're very complex, but there's all types of little motion balance that you need to pay attention to, which joints are loose and which joints are tight at any given moment. And as you become better and better, you'll start to realize when you're doing something right, when you're doing something wrong, and you can start correcting yourself. And again, that's just a really great way that the thing I've learned from teaching other people is that I see my own what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right, and it helps me be a better teacher, because that's another thing I'm really striving for, is just be a really, really good teacher. I want to be able to, be able to teach anyone almost anything just really easily, and it also helps me become more outgoing and a better communicator as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the skills, is being able to teach something, especially right after you've learned it. If you've ever checked out the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, that's one of the recommendations, and it really, really does help. And I want to take a pause here to mention your website, and that people can actually purchase your videos there. You have the Dream Video and other products on indigo-chef.com, indigo-chef.com. You'll see the store. You'll also see there's a tab that shows Hezekiah's history and all these really cool experiences that he's been able to have at such a young age. He has some of those things chronicled in there as well.
Yeah. I love telling stories about myself, so it's a really good opportunity for me to be able to do that.
For sure.
Well, I think that just knowing about all of these different styles of martial arts is something that 13-year-olds are not usually aware of. Like, how has that impacted your life?
Well, actually, it was right, as I said before, it was basically from my 11th, 12th, and 13th years, I started eating more healthfully and exercising on a more regular basis. And I started taking it when I was 12. I started taking the Kung Fu when I was 12, so I was just starting to become more healthy at that point. And so it was like added exercise, and it's helped me become a lot more controlled and just be better with balance, strength, discipline, better with breathing. A lot of the forms that we hold require you to breathe very regularly in order to work through like some discomfort you might have for certain positions that are more comfortable than others. And so it helps me breathe regularly, and there are certain ways when you're doing a form of a sequence of techniques, if you will. There's usually a pattern of breathing that you have to breathe that's in time with the movements of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
It is interesting. Breathwork's really powerful. I had an experience of getting into a beehive last week and being stung by more than a dozen bees. And one of the things that I did to get past that, which was quite painful, was breathwork, and that really did help quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And that comes definitely, the training that I have had in Tai Chi has certainly been helpful for the breath work, the control, being able to sustain it, and using that as a tool to control your mind and to aid your body.
Yes, if you can, we do sparring a lot, and sparring isn't my favorite thing. However, sparring is very important because it teaches you, you know, how to react and fight in the moment and with speed. And so that's what I found about that, is that if I get hit hard, if I breathe with it and just kind of align my energies correctly, it doesn't really hurt, and it just it goes away in like seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way, and it's the same thing if I like injure myself, because I'm always working on the farm and, you know, exercising, taking walks, riding the bike around, running around. So every once in a while, I might pull a muscle just, you know, lifting something heavy. And a lot of times, if I breathe with it and I just sit still and relax, it will usually just loosen up and I'll be fine in, you know, maybe a day or so at most. Sometimes I can get to be fine in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Unique experience that you have to really bring into and highlight into everything that you're doing, both with your kung fu and with the food aspect, the chef aspects. Most people do not have much of an understanding of truly fresh foods. People go to the store and things have been shipped and they don't season. And, you know, when you're living on a working farm, if something is not in season, you're probably not eating it. You're eating things that are in season, things that you've grown, everything that has been raised, either on your farm or locally.
Yeah.
That's an amazing understanding to bring to people about the differences of the fresh foods versus things that have been shipped all over the world.
Yeah, that's kind of a sad about just the mainstream people, because even a lot of the people who do know what fresh food is, many of them don't have access to it, but it's very expensive, so it's just great to be able to grow a garden here. For instance, right now, I've noticed at the beginning of the year when it was winter, peppers were $2 and $3 each, and now they've gone down to about $1, which is still very expensive, and we're just barely starting to get them into our garden, which is just, it's incredible, because you get to see the value of what you're doing monetarily, like literally just right in front of your face. And
right.
Yeah, it's just, it's very, it's just right there in black and white, which is very, very interesting to be able to see that. Kind of like
one of the things that you just said that reminded me of something else. Have you ever heard of a game called the Lemonade Stand game?
No.
You will love this one. Go online and just Google Lemonade Stand game. There's two or three variations of it out there. All of them, I think, are equally good. The idea behind the game is that you are going to become an owner of a lemonade stand. You get certain resources, so they'll give you so much money that you can use to invest in get your lemonade. But you're going to have to come up with the recipe for the lemonade. You're going to have to figure out how you're going to market the lemonade. How are you going to get new customers to come in and buy your lemonade and drink your lemonade? It is an amazingly powerful game for showing you how to build a business. And yet it's a game.
That sounds great. I will definitely look at that. It'll probably teach me a lot about how I can market my website. Great idea.
I think this is the tall trees with their hand raised, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome, Chief Robert Talltree and his wife, Terry Talltree, and meet Hezekiah.
Hezekiah, it's a pleasure to meet you. Mm-hmm. We're calling from Colorado in the States here, and
wow.
We have been listening and very, very fascinated about your endeavors and how wise you've become. Actually, as a Native American, we have a tendency of acknowledging young people with old souls. They have a tendency of actually being also an excellent role model to all the individuals, young people that are their age. And it's an honor to have an opportunity to at least meet you, and hopefully maybe one day we'll be able to see each other face-to-face and heart-to-heart and smile-to-smile. But I am so fascinated and so inspired by what you are doing. And through not only your mindset, but also the aspects of how you're physically, mentally, and spiritually taking in honoring yourself. This is something that we've been trying to teach for many, many years, and having someone like you taking and coming and starting this venture or this journey is really a wonderful thing to hear about. I'm so happy to know that you are out there doing such great things for people.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very honored to have the chance to meet you and meet all these great people today who are here to interview me.
Rhonda and I have some incredible people in our lives, and it would be our pleasure to introduce you to them.
Thank you.
Well, you know what, when it comes to Gina and Rhonda, if there's anybody that you want to meet or know or you or find out about, this is the lady to talk to. She has connections. She's a great connector of people, and she has great instinct and a big heart. So definitely need to keep in contact with Gina and Rhonda for sure. It'd be very wise of you to do that.
Thank you so much, Robert. Let me ask you a quick question about your website. Is this a WordPress blog?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Is this a WordPress blog on indigo-chef.com? Do you know?
I think it's Drupal.
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's Drupal.
I'm thinking it's Drupal, Gina, because that's what a couple of the other websites, maybe somebody over at the school we can check, but I think that's what it is that they have.
Did someone build this for you, or did you do it for yourself?
Well, I have a friend named Lori Biswell, who one of her her major skills is she can build websites. So she has been helping my mother and I build this website, and I am learning some about the construction of websites, but most of the work has been done by her. I hope that eventually I will be able to learn enough that I will be able to build websites myself when I want to.
Websites are so easy today. They're so much easier than when I came online back in 1997, I'll tell you that.
I can imagine.
There's so many tools that you can use that make it as easy as using a word processor. If you can use a word processor, you can have a website that you totally control and create yourself.
Yep.
Well, Rhonda, let's see if we can get the answer to that question, because if it is a WordPress blog, I'd like to help Hezekiah get a theme that doesn't have it going quite as wide as this one does.
Right, I agree with that. I'll double-check for you, but it feels a lot like the dreamschool.org site, which is Drupal, and so we'll see.
You're right, it does feel a lot like that, you're right.
Yeah.
Do you have a Twitter account and a Facebook account, Hezekiah?
A Twitter account?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I have a...
No, they're kind of low-tech-ish over here.
I have
okay.
An email account where I can email people and they can send emails to the site and to me. And I have a PayPal account set up for the site, and that's how I exchange,
mm-hmm.
Give and receive money. That's how money flows through it.
Well, we've got to get you exposed to Twitter and Facebook,
yeah,
because there are so many people that would love to meet you on Twitter and Facebook. They're what are called social media sites.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sites that are built around the idea of building friendships. And as you build friends, you're communicating back and forth with them in a way that really allows you to become an expert in your field. And I bet you any money that with Twitter and Facebook both, you would really enjoy yourself with all the people you could connect to.
Yeah, I would. I'd probably enjoy myself.
Imagine having this great series of cooking demonstration videos and with those being on Facebook and all pointing back to your site and being able to set your blog and all those things up so that they post on Twitter automatically. There are just so many ways also to hook things up so that you can post something in one place and it will go all over the place for you without extra effort on your part. It's one of the beautiful things of technologies that are available today.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about technology is that it can be kind of dangerous sometimes. However, it also gives us incredible incredible ways to meet each other. I would not be able to do half the things I'm doing now if it wasn't for the technology we have. I love taking pictures, as you said. I got my first camera as a Christmas present when I was 4 from a woman I've known all my life who's actually the current president of the School of Metaphysics. And I used up, it was a film camera.
Of course, yeah.
It was. I used up all the film that night, literally, just taking one picture after another. So I got mad because I wanted to take more pictures. So my would buy me film on almost a regular basis, and I would take pictures, and I continued, and I had that camera for 4 years until my parents bought me a better camera when I was 8, I guess 7 or 8, and then for Christmas of when I was 8, which I guess was 2003, my parents finally got me a digital camera, which I had wanted since I'd been about 6 or 7. I'd wanted a digital camera. So I finally got my first digital camera. And I had that for 4 years until finally I lost it. Well, I left it somewhere, and it was gone when I came back. It was in a public area. And so I had another one. And the second one I lost when I was filming a video in sand, and I did not know that sand was more dangerous than water for a camera. So I learned that lesson.
Hard way.
Camera was good. However, what eventually happened to that, we had a flash flood here, and I went on a nature walk with Jonathan. He's the man that has a degree in forestry, and we took Bam, my little dog, who's like not even a foot tall at the shoulder. He's very short. And we were traveling across a flooded area of the woods, and Sam almost got washed downstream. So I had the camera, and I chose my dog over the camera. The camera got wet, and I had to get a fourth camera. Now, the fourth camera I have is the best one I've ever had, and I now know pretty much all the secrets for taking care of a
water, camera. Yeah.
I've worked with this one for 2 years, and I am doing great with it. Yeah, and I'm not going to lose this one. I know all the things to avoid and the things I can do with it, and this is really good. It allows me to take high definition pictures and video, which
yep.
is just ideal for my site. And I've gotten to a point where it's like I will just go outside for no other reason than just to take pictures and just to really enjoy myself. And I can see but I'm starting to develop at least a little bit. I have a small amount of a photographer's eye talent for seeing photos, so I'll just take pictures with certain lighting or certain effects.
Being able to capture an animal at a great moment, having seen some of your pictures, that's a talent of yours as well. It's not always that easy to get animal pictures, and you seem to have an eye for that and a gift for that. I'm sure they are happy to open their spirits and let themselves be photographed as well by you.
Two of my favorite things to photograph are animals and children, which are two of the things that they say are the two most difficult things to photograph, and that may be one of the reasons why I love taking pictures of them so much, because it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I made a film called The Power of Prayer, which my mother premiered kind of a trailer, a short version for, when she spoke in Australia at the Parliament for World Religions there. And it was, and it's about this healing wall that we have on the side of our Peace Dome at the College of Metaphysics. It's a 9x18 relief map of the world that we have set in the stone, and in 2012, we are going to inlay it with stones that we have received from all around the world. We have sent letters to literally all over the planet asking if we could have stones from every continent, and we finally received. We have been receiving them from many, many countries, and whenever anyone from the school or who knows the school goes to one of these distant countries, they pick up a rock while they're there. Like we've had some. When we went to Australia, we picked up some rocks. When I went to California, I got a rock. When I went to Chicago, I picked up some stone.
I should have brought you one from Stone County, Missouri, but I didn't know about all the stones until after I got there. That's
say, literally, I do live in Stone County, Missouri, which supposedly was named after a mare's stone, but I think that the stones actually grow and breed over here, and there's no soil, there's just rock. So it's an apt name.
That's really funny, because where we live is actually on top of a hill, so this isn't the most ideal farmland, but we have worked really, really hard to make our garden work. We put potting soil down and compost and anything that can be basically biodegradable, and the manure from we get from our neighbors and our own animals, and it works. We've got this great black soil in our garden. Every year we pull out more rocks and put in more compost, and we've got these little plots of garden land on top of this hill that's just as good land as you'd find in the middle of a valley. Just fabulous. And when we had our pre-parliament event, Living Decently event, last September here, there was a woman called Grandmother Silver Star. She was a Native American, and she came to the speaker here, and she had her spiritual brother had gone to Antarctica, and he had found a stone there that the land of Antarctica wanted him to take, and so he gave it to her. And when she heard that we were still missing the stone from Antarctica, she asked the stone if she had its permission to give to us, and it gave her permission. So she gave it to me and to the school for Antarctica. So now that was the one place that, for obvious reasons, we thought we might not be able to have a stone from, but now we have one. We got this little black
Excellent.
Stone from Antarctica. It was just an amazing story.
Very cool.
So, in the next 1 to 2 years, what kind of plans do you have?
Well, I want to take your advice and really work on developing the detail of the site and expand it and get it out there all over the place and let even more and more people know about it. And I'm going to start writing some books. I'm going to write some books about things I've learned from living with adults, about how to get along and about health and about just like wisdom. I love studying quotes by famous enlightened people and elevated people. Wisdom, it's one of my favorite passions, and so I think I might just write a book about that called, like, I don't know, the Words of Wisdom, what I learned from getting phrases stuck in my head. That's one of the ideas I have for that book. And so, yeah, my parents are authors, and I think it would just be really cool if I could write some books, because I love sharing what I know. And really just it would be an interesting challenge for me to see if I could write a book that it really has some good things to hear, really some good wisdom in it, in the next like year or two, and publish it.
That's a great goal.
Yes, it certainly is. And I certainly love to help people write books. That's one of the main things that I do. So it's loads of fun, and I'm happy to be of assistance to you in any way that I may with that. I actually did a workshop for the School of Metaphysics authors, because as a part of the advanced course of study, all the students have to write a book that prospers the school. So I gave a workshop on how to do that in such a way that it really gets people to go back to your website, back to the school, and get involved in a very big ways with you. We'll make sure you have access to all that.
All right.
Absolutely. And how about for fun? What do you plan on doing in the next couple of years?
What I plan on doing? Well, another thing I'd like to do with my kung fu is I would like to be able to become even more of a master of kung fu, and I'd like to be able to study all different kinds of styles, as we were talking about earlier, the qigong, the tai chi, the different types of kung fu. There's a style called Bagua kung fu that looks really interesting, that once I learn the style I'm studying now, I might want to go into. It's a very fluid kind of spinning, moving style. I might want to learn some yoga and dancing. I really want to become a master of playing different musical instruments. the piano, the violin, and the guitar are the three that I would really like to learn really well.
And do you know any of them now? I know you've got the new violin.
I'm about to start violin lessons. I know some on the piano. I don't know anything on the guitar yet. Many of the people that I know about the guitar, but so far I haven't asked anyone to teach me yet, which I probably should.
The guitar is a fun instrument. I'm a very accomplished guitarist. I play classical and flamenco. I haven't played in a long time, but I actually used to teach guitar years and years ago. So if you're going to start guitar, start strengthening your fingernails now, because you're going to need them.
All right.
Yes.
So use what you know about nutrition to see what you can do to strengthen your fingernails. It'll make a big difference in your guitar performance.
All right. Cool. I like being able to tie part of my life together like that.
Right.
I have to ask, how do you plan your day with so many different interests and things you're involved in? How do you get them all done in a day?
Well, I try to plan, like, time I'll spend with people, like if I'm going to go on a walk with somebody or, you know, have a class with somebody or teach somebody something. I try to plan that hours, preferably days ahead of time, and then I'll build the rest of my day around it. Like, I might have some time here to do some chores, maybe vacuum for my parents or clean the car, and then I'll spend usually the morning when most of the people are asleep right after I've gotten up and taken care of the animals, you know, around 6:30 or 7. That'll be a good time for me to do homework, I found, like my schoolwork that my parents give me, my assignments, maybe early afternoon. And then if I really get tired, that would be the time that I might watch some TV or something to kind of slow down, unwind, as you say. And then just kind of work around that and look for little opportunities of little open time. And then if I get, you know, kind of cooped up inside, I might go outside, and that might be when I take a walk with my dog. Just around. Sometimes I'll plan my whole day what I'm going to do. Like usually I just decide these are the things I want to get done today. These are like the productive things. Like, you know, I might want to do this much on my schoolwork. I might want to write this paper, or I might want to write a new blog for my site, or, you know, take a walk today. Just plan the different things I want to do, and then just build my day around those things.
Oh, it's not as tough as it sounds then. Do you have a date book or a calendar that you keep so that you can get all of the things that you're scheduling in place?
Yeah, I do have a calendar that sometimes myself and my parents will take notes on for me about different things I'll do. Usually I just either just either record it just in my own memory. I like keeping lots of things in my head, or I'll write it down or have one of my parents write it down for me in a notebook.
That's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll carry the notebook around with me, and I'll check stuff off from it, the different things I've gotten done every day.
Great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest doing that same thing with your goals so that you're not just using your calendar, but you actually have like a goals journal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in third grade, I created my first goals journal, and I had three different sections to it. I had my long-range goals, my mid-range goals, and my short-term goals. And my to-do list every day was essentially my short-term goals list. And I would plan them in reverse order. So I would start by planning the long-term goals. What are those big things that I want long-term? And from each of those, I would start asking, well, if I want to have that, what would I need to get to first to get there? And that would allow me to then create my mid-range goals. And from there, I could go backwards one more step to create my short-term goals. And before you know it, all of the goals are in place.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhonda, I hate to do this to you, but our power just went out. So if you could take over for just a minute while I go figure out why my power just went out.
I will
be like
happy to do that. No problem.
Thank you.
So this sounds great that you are able to get a lot done. And I just want to remind people that you're in a place that
you of course have parents who value disciplines of the mind, body, and spirit. You're in a whole environment that values that, so that really helps. Most people in this culture have expectations that people are not truly grown up until, they're in their 20s, and that as a teenager, according to the standard main part of society, that you're still a child, but yet your community and your family have raised you with a much different ideal in where you have more responsibility. So what might you, how has that, kind of affected your outlook?
Well, there's this book written by an author who's probably my favorite author, if not one of my favorites, called Outliers. The book is called Outliers. The man who wrote it is named Malcolm Gladwell. He's written three New York Times best-selling books.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, in the book, he basically talks about how the subtitle is called The Story of Success, Outliers, The Story of Success, and it's about how basically pretty much no one gets where they're going alone, and about how they act and what their life is like and how people help them along the way to become more successful. And he talks about how, like, people who are comfortable in almost any situation will tend to be more successful because people like them more, and they'll be more in a position to have other people help them. So having these people around me just to kind of help me and encourage me is just a really it really has affected me as an individual, made me more comfortable. I'm slowly becoming more and more comfortable just talking to anybody. Like, probably a year or two ago, I would have been too nervous to be able to have done this radio interview, so this is a big step for me. And just a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have been able to teach one of my Kung Fu classes that I teach here to the students this well. Yesterday, I taught another class, and I worked really hard to be very outgoing, extroverted. I told lots of stories about myself and just about why we're doing the different forms. I asked them what they thought about them, and we all got along great. So I found being very outgoing is as one of the real ways for success. And so if you're raised to be very comfortable in certain situations, that will be an asset to you right in itself. Laurel, she's the president of the school, who's a friend of mine. She was talking about how she found a list, I guess online, or someone emailed it to her or something. It was a list of the 10 most common causes for happiness that these people did a poll on. One of them was financial success. One of them was chocolate, actually, eating chocolate. it was one of them that was extroversion. That's a really big cause for happiness and success. So just being able to be raised the way I am has allowed me to think differently from probably most people just about life in general. The one thing that I still kind of am lacking that I kind of am learning just now is just how to be more comfortable just out in public and situations, since I never went to school. So I didn't really, become comfortable being around a bunch of people I don't know. I still have a hard time occasionally if I walk into a room that's just filled with crowded people, really crowded with people, like all talking at the same time. When I was little, I would get stomach aches from that, and I wouldn't be able to stay in a room for very long. The two little girls that I told you about that live here, especially the older 6-year-old Alexandra, she has really big trouble when she goes into a big crowded room because she's so open-minded and friendly and receptive to all the energies that's going around from all the different people, all like talking and thinking at the same time.
Yeah.
And you are an amazing, insightful person. I mean, regardless of age, one of the comments that you made was that you found that when you teach, you learn even more.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, even as adults, don't ever really get that the easiest, fastest way of learning is to teach someone else. You have no idea how powerful just that one comment can be in your life. And I think if you can really trust that you have the insight and wisdom to be able to pick up on those little details, then going into a crowd should make it a lot easier for you. Robert, if you're still on the line, you might have some words of wisdom for Hezekiah. I know I still got you unmuted if you're here.
I thought they were here. I saw them a minute ago.
Yes, I am just muted myself. Yes, actually, you know, the thing that I've taken come to realize is that, of course, as you know, we, Terry and I, my wife, have spoken all over the world and peace and so forth. But when it comes to aspects of being in front of large crowds, really you start taking and looking at these individuals. They're not any different from you. They have the same kind of fears of being in front of individuals. But look within your heart. What is it that you want to convey to them? Because initially what we want to do naturally as human beings is to inspire individuals to move into their place and their purpose. So when you start looking within yourself, you say, you know what? These are just people, and they're here because they want to learn. They want to expand their own personal horizons. They want to grow. And so that's one of the things in which I always have a sense of saying, and I always have this little prayer saying, Creator, please fit the words that are necessary within my heart and then allow them to come into my mind so I don't get in my own way. And if you do that, every time you have a tendency of being in the presence of individuals that are there, you know that they're not there accidentally, that they were there for a purpose. And I always believe in my heart of hearts that when individuals, especially in a large group, are there and there's a story to be told or a lesson to be told, that is your moment. That's your time to enlighten them in whatever way you can. And if you continue to come from that place, you won't have any problem. Of course, everybody gets a little nervous once in a while, but that's okay. Just let it, push it aside and realize that you're there, the right place, at the right time, and it's your time to shine your light. And keep thinking that, and you'll find that it's going to really help you guide your way all through your life.
Thank you, Robert.
You're very welcome, Gina.
That's awesome.
And, you know, one of the things that I think will serve you well is your storytelling skills.
Yes.
Anytime you're in a crowd, the one thing people love to hear is stories.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine the two things, what Robert just shared with you and storytelling, coming from that place in your heart of inspiring people, just tell the stories that you know. You have so many incredible stories that you can tell. Most people in their lifetime couldn't get half of the stories that you have just because of all of the experiences you've been able to really be a part of. So just share your stories.
That's for sure.
I just love telling stories and stuff. Yeah, it's a really good thing. Whenever I have gone to a seminar, because my parents take me to seminars occasionally, and the people I really like listening to in those, or the people that, you know, just really stand out to me, or even just the moments that stand out to me at the points where the people are telling their stories, and especially the people who really know how to tell a story, where it's funny, and it's clever, it's great. I love being able to,
That's fun. To
hear that.
Yeah, well, there's nothing that brings people together like stories. We really are absolutely hardwired in our nervous systems for stories, and people actually relax in the presence of a story. You go into a receptive state of mind when you're around a story. So it's a powerful skill to have, an ability.
Well, we've only got about 60 seconds left, and I just want to take the time to tell folks where they can find Hezekiah online. At www.indigo-chef, that's indigo, I-N-D-I-G-O, -chef.com. It has been our pleasure having you here, Hezekiah, and I'm going to have Rhonda connect the two of us together so that I can work with you a little bit on your website and reaching out to all of the masses that you want to reach to get your teachings out to the world. I think it's an incredible thing. I'm also a co-founder of an organization called 10 Million Clicks for Peace. And through our website at askggg.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E, I think there's probably a great opportunity for you to do some guest blog posts for it that can reach out to the world too. and help drive some more traffic back to your site. So, Rhonda, if you could do me the favor of connecting the two of us and getting some time for me to talk to Hezekiah one-on-one, that would be great.
Of course I will.
And we will be. And thank you, Robert and Terry, for popping in. I really appreciated your words of wisdom, Robert.
Thank you so much, Gina. Always a pleasure.
And we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Rhonda, who's up next week?
Next week we have two guests. We're starting off with Kristen Kopp, who calls herself the Dragon Slayer, works a lot with your mindset. And then we have a minister, Reverend Norman Ramsey, who has an amazing gift of music and being able to write and come up with songs that match his teachings perfectly.
Ooh, I can't wait. Should be a good show. Yep. So, Hezekiah, if I can ever do anything at all to help you, please just let me know. I would be happy to help you in all that you're trying to achieve.
Thank you so much. I will.
And thanks so much to our listeners for being here. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.